All participants, please stand by. Your conference is ready to begin. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the EarthCast Quarterly Report conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Chris Ocean. Please go ahead, Mr. Ocean.
Thank you. And thanks to everyone who's joining us on the call today. With me from EarthCast are Wade Larson, Ethan Acklade, Fabrizio Ferrandini, and Jeff Rapp. But I'll start things off by reading our Safe Harbor statement, and then I'm going to hand the microphone over to Wade. Be reminded that certain statements made in this conference call and our responses to various questions may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of securities laws. These forward-looking statements, such as statements about completing the acquisition and financing, achieving the benefits expected from the acquisition, and any financial outlook or guidance of Deimos or the EarthCast, rely on a number of assumptions concerning future events that are believed to be reasonable but are subject to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors, many of which are outside the company's control, and which could cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different. While the company believes that the assumptions concerning future events are reasonable, we caution that there are inherent difficulties in predicting certain important factors that could affect the future performance or results of our businesses. The company expressly disclaims any intention or obligation to revise or publicly update any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as may be required by applicable securities laws. During the course of this call, we may also refer to certain metrics such as EBITDA, not recognized under International Financial Reporting Standards. Non-IFRS measures do not have any standardized meaning under IFRS and therefore are unlikely to be comparable to similar measures presented by other issuers. EarthCast believes that these measures may offer useful supplemental information, but they are subject to inherent uncertainties and limitations, rely on various assumptions by the company, and should therefore not be relied upon for the purpose of making an investment decision. For a complete discussion of the risks, uncertainties, and assumptions which may lead to actual financial results or performance being different from that contained in our forward-looking information, please refer to our news releases, our news release dated August 9, 2016, our most recently filed AIF, and our amended and restated base shelf prospectus dated May 15, 2015, all of which are available on our website or on our SEDAR profile at www.sedar.com. Wade, I'd like to hand it over to you now.
Thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, everyone, and again, thank you for joining us. The first two quarters of 2016 were very busy and very consequential for our guests. We have continued to make significant progress in our two operating businesses, Earth Observation and Engineering Services, as well as with our longer-term strategic initiatives, the development of the Earth Daily and Optistar constellations, and the evolution of our EO platform, which we have branded as Earth Platform. Thanks to the growing contributions from our operating businesses, in Q2 we achieved a historic milestone, generating positive EBITDA for the first time in the history of our young company, a major achievement of which we are very proud. These discussions, the results of our BD and sales momentum, boost our confidence that we will deliver on our 2016 revenue and EBITDA guidance and cement our position as an established and profitable company in our industry. In addition, we continue to make great progress achieving both technical and BD milestones with Earth Daily and Optistar. I will comment later in depth on our progress on those, but I believe it is important to put all of these efforts and these achievements during the first half of the year in perspective. And for perspective then, I want to make the following observation. These achievements have been accomplished while we have been working very hard at completing the integration of our Earth Observation business following the Deimos acquisition last summer, expanding our reach and coverage around the world, and expanding into many new markets, simultaneously building up our BD and sales momentum while at the same time advancing Earth Daily and Optistar. And we've done this at a time when governments and other EO customers around the world are facing tremendous economic and social challenges, volatility, uncertainty. And we've also faced ongoing geopolitical challenges related to our cameras on the ISS. To mitigate risks and prudently operate in this challenging environment, we have also been focused on ensuring that our costs are rigorously managed and that we keep a close eye on cash management. On this front, I can report that we are operating well within our budget. We are continuously looking for and acting on opportunities to cut costs and ensuring that we generate and manage our cash and working capital positions so as to ensure that we meet our obligations and can execute on our future plans. Following my appointment as CEO last December, I undertook a full review of all initiatives within the company. Our findings narrowed our focus as a company and led us to take actions to achieve positive operational and cost benefits which began to be reflected in our financial and operating quarters results in this quarter. At a very high level then, our efforts were focused on four key things. First, solidifying and expanding our two operating businesses of engineering services and earth observation for strong trajectories on both top line and bottom line through 2016, 2017, and beyond. This effort included the decision to integrate the operations of all of our sensors into a single operating group in Spain and all EOBD and sales under Fabrizio to manage our effectiveness and help build our reputation and sales momentum. Second, advancing the yardsticks on our future constellation plans in Earth Daily and Optisar. Third, refining the customer engagement model for Earth Platform. And fourth, finally, better aligning our operating costs and investment budgets against our revenue streams. So let's go back and talk about how some of these actions have impacted our two operating business areas and positioned them for solid growth over the coming years. In engineering services, Earthcast revenue have improved substantially thanks to the successful renegotiation of our contract with our key technology development partner. The customer has been very pleased with our partnership and progress to date, which was demonstrated by reallocating all of the funds previously earmarked for future data purchases to engineering services related to the technology development. This amendment will increase the monthly revenues of the company beginning mid-2016 to all the way through to early 2018. And ESA will provide details on that shortly. But now let me ask Fabrizio Pirondini, the CEO of Deimos Imaging and the GM of our EO business, to comment on the progress that we've been making in Earth observation. Fabrizio.
Thank you, Wade. We are seeing a significant and expanding customer interest in our EO data portfolio. In the first half of the year, we experienced the normal slow ramp-up of business in our industry for this part of the year. This pace is now to significant increase in the second half of the year, and we are already experiencing increased customer activity. On the BD and sales front, we have expanded our global coverage and increased our bidding activities substantially. As a result, our business funnel continues to grow. We continue to develop our resellers network, which now includes more than 30 partners worldwide, with many others due to join soon. Our success rate in our traditional market has so far been close to 100%, and our goal now is to achieve similar level of success in key markets as we expand our reach and coverage around the world. Even though we continue to make important inroads and continue to see significant customer interest with outstanding bids continuing to grow in non-traditional markets, the sales ramp-up has taken slightly longer to develop than we had anticipated due to longer sales cycle and customer trials in the current global environment. Increasing our visibility, recognition, and exposure, we were presented with three major awards during the last year. The best EO transaction at Euroconsult, the best EO company of the year by the European Association of Remote Sensing Company, EERSC, and the Geospatial Company of the Year at the Geospatial World Forum 2016. This represents a significant status change as we are now considered one of the key players by the EO industry and in more markets than ever before. This exposure and recognition is translating into being provided with more opportunities to bid on business. Moreover, as founding members of the Pangaea Alliance, which is the first global alliance of EO satellite operators, we can offer an even wider, indeed an unprecedented, product portfolio to our customers. We have developed a strong Pangaea Virtual Constellation Data Service product, which is enabling us for the first time to bid for very large contracts with a winning value proposition. We expect that this new data service will open additional doors as this broad suite of sensors is a key product differentiator and enabler. Overall, we are confident that our sales effort to date and strong sales funnel will pay off in the second half of the year and that we will contribute our share for Earthcast to meet the 2016 guidance.
Thank you, Fabrizio. As I mentioned before, we have been working very hard in the background on advancing the yardsticks on our future constellation plans with Earth Daily and Optisar. On Earth Daily, most significantly, on July 29th, we announced signing of a strategic partnership agreement with Arlington, Virginia-based OmniEarth, which brings significant momentum to our efforts to build Earth Daily. Interestingly, OmniEarth is a leading geoanalytics company, and they had identified the need for a system like this over 3 years ago. In addition to providing some key system-level technical support, this agreement creates strong alignment between our organizations, allowing OmniEarth to become a strong marketing and sales partner for Earth Daily. In addition, we are in talks with multiple parties in a variety of market verticals who use very large amounts of Earth Daily type EO data. And our objective with these customers is to reach long-term supply agreements that allow us to bring the Earth Daily solution to the market. To support this effort, we are putting together products using our current sensors and those of our partners in the PanGeo Alliance to serve the immediate needs of these customers and demonstrate the benefits of frequent revisits and the impacts that they can have on their business. And we're using the Earth platform to do that. The progress here has been very encouraging. Based on our progress on Earth Daily to date, we continue to target the 2019 growing season to be fully operational and serve the agricultural market, among many others. Similarly, while it may not be visible externally, we continue to make significant progress on OptiSAR. We continue to reduce the technological development risk, most recently by completing the preliminary design reviews for both the dual-band multi-aperture SAR XL payload and for the dual-mode high-resolution optical camera. Also, significant technical progress has been made in building the second prototype for the SAR XL antenna. In addition, we've completed the mission system requirements review for the OptiSAR constellation, which enabled the formal start of the optical and SAR spacecraft design phase, which is now fully underway. We are systematically and progressively beating down the development risk on these technologies. Our anchor customer has been very pleased with the progress on OptiSAR development program to date. They've demonstrated this by reallocating all the funds previously earmarked for future data purchases to engineering services relating to the development of the OptiSAR technology. ESO will comment later on how this amendment will increase the monthly revenues of the company beginning in early 2016. We continue to work on signing new MOUs and on converting our current MOUs into binding contracts. Numerous customer discussions of many different shapes and sizes are underway on OptiSAR, and the progress is broad-based. And again, as noted above, this is happening against a backdrop of ongoing challenges in the current global environment and taking into account the complexities of such a revolutionary system. Last week, we released our, quote, reverse RFP, end quote, to U.S. companies interested in potentially a long-term strategic partnership with us to serve the United States government's data needs with the OptiSAR constellation. Early engagement coming out of this effort has been very encouraging, and we are already in discussion with more than 20 parties. We believe that we are gaining significant traction, starting with our CRADA, that's the Cooperative Research and Development Agreement, with NGA, which we anticipate will allow us to align OptiSAR to meet U.S. government needs. Similarly, we think this RFP process will permit us to align with the U.S. government's future procurement strategies and technology roadmaps. We believe that this will allow us to bring new and disruptive capabilities from this commercial sector to address the requirements of government users. And our vision, quite simply, is to help create the partnerships and the service delivery models that unlock the enormous potential of Earth observation data for the people who need it. Finally, regarding Earth platform, we continue to refine our customer engagement model. After spending the last few years building the Earth platform into a robust data handling and distribution system, our near-term objective has moved to more closely integrating direct industry-specific feedback into the platform roadmap. We're actively working with some very large customers to explore ways to incorporate them into the Earth platform ecosystem, and even more importantly, integrate the Earth platform directly into their workflows and data management processes. We completed a reorganization of some of the Earth platform development team in Q2, which we view as a natural progression to centralize and optimize development efforts in Vancouver. An interesting and hopeful sign of the market reception for Earth platform has been that the platform is increasingly being requested and required as a key element of many of the larger multi-year EO programs proposals that we are submitting. In other words, we are starting to see now a real convergence between the traditional EO business model and the emerging, quote-unquote, modern approach, which we have been championing for some time. And for us, I think this is a validation of the program roadmap. I also want to reinforce the point we made at our investor event in March that the Earth platform has a unique position as a core backbone infrastructure to both our current ground segment and the future sensors for the future constellations. Lastly, I'd like to comment on the initiatives that we have implemented this year to improve both our operations and cost structure. Unlike many other industries, companies in this industry have rather fixed costs and require substantial investment prior to beginning meaningful revenue generation. This characteristic argues for an operational and cost alignment effort once revenue visibility emerges, which is precisely how I would like to characterize this effort. And specifically, we have reduced staff in areas that could not either be efficiently transferred to operations or development support for our current sensors or future constellations. As an example, our Gen 1 operations have been completely moved to Spain, or will have been completely moved to Spain by the end of Q3, to take advantage of the significant infrastructure and skill set that exists at our Deimos facilities. We've taken advantage of the convergence of our ground segment work and our Earth platform work and centralized the development and management of these functions at our Vancouver office under a single senior manager. And we've also taken the opportunity to renegotiate key supplier contracts following our expanded development agreement in order to better smooth program cash flows going forward. While these efforts are complete today, most of the financial benefits resulting from these issues, these initiatives, should begin to flow into the back of this year, as you would expect. Now, let me hand things over to Isa, our CFO, for highlights of Q2 and the financial results.
Thank you, Wade. Our RFS revenue in Q2 was $21 million, an increase of $8.8 million over the prior quarter and $16 million over the same period in 2015. Non-IFRS revenue was $15.9 million in this quarter, an increase of $9.1 million over the prior quarter and an increase of $10.9 million over the same period in 2015. These increases were due to both higher Earth observation imagery sales and higher engineering services revenues. Our EO business grew substantially from Q1 to Q2, more than doubling from $1.3 million to $3.1 million. An increase of 1.8 and a growth rate of approximately 130%. This increase is primarily from both of the Deimos sensors, with Deimos 1 now serving the North American growing season and Deimos 2 gaining market traction. Regarding our engineering services business, as previously announced in April, we amended our U.S. $65 million contract for engineering services and Earth imagery data to reallocate those funds previously earmarked for data purchases to engineering services. We began providing those services under this amendment at the beginning of the year, but as the amendment was not ratified until the second quarter, we only commenced recognizing revenue on this portion of the contract in Q2. This resulted in an increase of $8 million in engineering services revenue in the current quarter over our recurring revenue from this contract previously. Going forward, this amendment will increase revenue by approximately U.S. $3 million per quarter until the extended project completion in mid-2018. As Wade pointed out, in Q2, adjusted EBITDA was positive for the first time in our history at $5 million, an increase of $11 million over the prior quarter and $6.8 million over the same period in 2015. This comes as a result of both higher revenues and an overall decrease in our operating costs. During the last two quarters, we implemented a number of cost-saving initiatives, including consolidating certain software development and operations activities and conducting a review of our cloud storage costs, which are anticipated to continue to reduce operating costs in future periods. The near break-even net loss of $300,000 in the second quarter of 2016 was a decrease of $10.88 million over the prior quarter and of $5.4 million over the same period in 2016. Our cash position remains strong at June 30th at approximately $20 million, and we continue to monitor and manage it closely. In May, we awarded a non-repayable grant of $5 million from the Government of Canada's CDP Technology Development Program to support our OptiStar constellation. In the current quarter, we made a claim of $1 million for expenditures incurred in 2015 to March 31st, 2016. The remainder of the award is expected to be collected over the next 4 years. Now let me hand it over to Wade.
Thank you, Isa. So, operator, that concludes our commentary, and I'd like to hand it over to Jeff Rath here to manage the questions.
Thanks, Wade. Jeff here. So we've got probably about 30 minutes where we can open up for Q&A. So, operator, if you could go ahead, open it up, please.
Sure, thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Noel Atkinson from Claris Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. I apologize if it's noisy here. I'm in transit. So congratulations on the quarter. It's very well done. Just a couple quick questions. Fabrizio's comments mentioned something that is taking longer for a sales cycle. I wonder if you could just reiterate that because it was hard to hear a bit.
Sure. Thank you, Noel. I think the point here is that, yes, the ramp in EO revenue is taking a little longer than we thought or we hoped. But that is, it's explained by the fact that really this is a new product. You know, Deimos 2 is a brand new product, even for the Deimos Imaging folks. We have a new sales team. We're entering into new geographies with new customers. And so when you add those things up, it kind of makes sense that the ramp would be a little slower than we would like to see. That being said, we really feel good about where it's going.
Did you receive any milestone payments of cash in on the $65 million contract in Q2?
Sure, I'll hand that to Isa.
Sure. Hi, Noel. Yes, we did receive a payment in the quarter, and that's typical of this contract where when we meet milestones, we then get very lumpy cash flows coming in off of it.
Sorry, did you say that you did or you didn't?
We did, yes, sorry.
Okay. Can you say how much it was?
No, we did not provide that information.
Okay, and then one more, since I'm being very noisy. The Pangeo Alliance, this is a very exciting opportunity here. In order to deploy the broad constellation. Do you have any contracts already signed for that where you would be, you know, selling en masse the solutions of the Pangeo Alliance?
Let me pass that to Fabrizio and all. Thank you.
Yes, we do have some contracts in which we are already providing that. Specifically, I can mention one contract that we have with the European Space Agency for the Copernicus program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from David McFadden from Cormark Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Thank you. Just a couple of questions. First of all, just a clarification. So you recognize $8 million in revenue from that $65 million contract, the amendment. So I'm not sure, do you mean to say that now, starting in Q3 and going forward, you'll be recognizing $3 million of revenue a year? Because elsewhere you say it's an increase, so it's not clear to me.
Yeah. Hi, David. Lisa. Thanks. Yeah, so what you have to look at is we did a catch-up adjustment in Q2 for backdating to the start of the program. So that totaled $8 million Canadian. Going forward, on top of our normal recognition of revenue off of that contract, we'll be adding $1 million U.S. per month going forward to mid-2018. So that's the $3 million U.S. will be over and above the run rate that you've seen over the last four or five quarters being released by us.
Okay. Yeah, because I think, if my guessing is correct, I think you were doing something $3 million plus a quarter previously, so then that would bump by $3 million. Okay. Then the other question relates to Deimos. So when you acquired that asset, you gave an indication that the annual revenue would be, say, $22 million, EBITDA would be $11 million, and that most of that revenue was under contract, so there was very little risk that it wouldn't be achieved. And now it seems like that's not going to be achieved because you're talking about a longer sales cycle there. So can you clarify what's happening with Deimos, the overall Deimos business?
Yeah, thank you, David. It's the kind of question that we focus on intently, and it's a good one. But I would say, in fact, that our outlook for Demos is unchanged, and our guidance for the year is remaining. We're not changing that a bit, and we're on a strong growth path. So we feel very good about it.
So you still think in 2016 there's a reasonable expectation that you would do $22 million in revenue from Demos, because year to date it's been pretty light?
You know, David, I think the cleanest thing we can say is that we're going to stick to our guidance, and we do so with confidence.
Okay. So the EO imagery sales in the quarter was 3.1. I would imagine most of that is coming from Demos. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So is there any better visibility on revenue from the ISS sensors as to when that revenue would start to pick up?
Well, I think what you're going to see when you dig into our financials is that revenue from the ISS cameras was pretty insubstantial in the quarter. And there's some reasons for that. We can get into it. But the main one is last December, when we took a strategic review of the business and started to look at really how do we optimize our sales team and our go-to-market strategies, we realized that the contribution margins on Demos 2 were substantially higher than on the ISS cameras. And so we quite simply took the decision to massively prioritize Demos 1 and particularly Demos 2 data sales with our sales team. And I think in retrospect, it may look funny in terms of Gen 1 sales, but it was the right business decision.
Okay. I'm a little surprised because I thought that margin on the ISS sensors would be quite high given you can use TDRS, so your downlink would be next to nothing.
Yeah, David, it's quite complicated, and there are some particulars about, you know, the platform and our partnership that we really can't get into, but it's I've described it.
Okay. And just one last question, I'll pass the line. Isa, can you give us an update on the restricted cash as to any possibility of making that unrestricted?
Thanks, David. Yeah, we are working to do that, and that is something that I expect to have moving on between now and the end of the year for part of that, probably about 30-40% of it, but we're working on the rest as we as well and try to free that up.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one at this time if you have a question. The next question is from Doug Taylor from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. Good evening. You've given us a little extra color on the revenue side. You alluded to some cost savings that you've undertaken or achieved now since the quarter end. I missed a little bit of the early part of the call. Did you ever quantify what your cost savings that you achieved through those initiatives you mentioned was, and what we should expect incrementally in Q3?
Hey, Doug, it's Jeff. I think the messaging on the cost savings is really one that we did it for a number of reasons, and we would expect to see those cost savings continue to flow through in the back half of the year. We didn't go so far as to quantify them, but it all plays into the confidence we have in our outlook and guidance.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe I'll a bit more on the cost. I mean, what are the ongoing costs of ISS sensors, and was the some of the savings that you achieved there directly related to the reduced emphasis on the driving sales of that product?
Unfortunately, Doug, it's Jeff here. It's kind of the same answer that we shared. And, there was a decision to prioritize Demos imagery. And at the same time, we've also taken the action to improve that system and its operational flexibility and centralize some of those costs into our Spanish subsidiary. So, you know, that's kind of what we've done. On aggregate, we don't break out the sort of line item costs, but again, it comes back to the idea that we have a high degree of confidence in our outlook going forward. And so you should see, you know, continued revenue growth, and you'll probably see, you know, some further cost savings going forward as well.
Okay. I think last time around you had offered that you were expecting to be EBITDA positive in Q3, and you obviously hit that a little earlier than expected. And given seasonality, I would expect Q3, it would seem to line up with a positive EBITDA performance again. Would you go as far as to talk about whether you think you can maintain EBITDA profitability through an annual cycle, given where you are right now and what you can see?
Yeah, I mean, we don't like to give quarterly guidance. We feel very confident for the year. As you know, we've continued to use the word ramp here today, and so you can read into that what you will. But I think, you know, I think really all we can do is say that we're very confident that we're going to hit our guidance.
Okay. Last one for me. I mean, just to help us, I know you guys are you know, grappling with the seasonality of your business and, you know, slower ramp but strong interest and a number of variables. But is there anything you can help us to think about the kind of Q3 to Q4 transition in the Earth observation business, quantitative, qualitative, something to help us with our modeling there would be helpful. I'll pass the line after that. Thank you.
Doug, it's Jeff, and it's a very fair question. I think, you know, we're learning more about our business. There's still some moving parts. Q1 to Q2 is a good example of that. So I think we're confident the business is tracking. There's financial momentum, but I think the best way we'd like to say it is, you know, we're confident in our full year outlook. And so that, you know, simple math says you've got half the year. So it's really you know, trying to splice the back half quarters. And I think instead of doing that, I think we're comfortable in just reiterating our guidance at this point, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Ariel Ophir from Dundee Capital Markets. Please go ahead. Your line is opened.
Good evening, guys. Actually, this is Sutan filling in for Ariel. First off, congrats on the quarter. A couple of questions on my side. Firstly, can you discuss in more detail the current RFP process for the U.S. opportunity? I believe on the commentary you did mention that there were 20 partners in discussion. How long before can you finalize your selections, and do you plan to select only one partner, or is there an intent to move forward with multiple partners?
Hey, yeah, thanks for the question, and it's a good one. It's one I've been looking forward to answering, in fact, actually. We've structured this reverse RFP, quote-unquote, to be as flexible as possible. And we've asked the prospective partners to really bring their A game in terms of proposing creative solutions. And that could encompass Earth Daily by itself. It could encompass Optistar by itself. It could encompass the two in combination. It could take into account even our current sensors, and it could even take into account licensing of the technologies that we have. And we know there's significant interest, for example, in the SAR technology. What we're trying to do here is really open up a creative space for people to think very strategically about the business model of taking this kind of commercially developed capability and throwing it over the wall to U.S. government users. And we hope that that really covers the gamut of, you know, business models, technology, operational cadence, direct customer engagement, the use of the platform, value-added services, and, of course, financial engineering. And so it's really putting all those things together is what we're trying to go after. And as I said, yeah, over 20 parties now in discussion with us, and we feel pretty good about it.
Okay, great. Second question is, it's an update on the OptiStar and Earth Daily. You know, what are kind of next milestones that we can look forward to being in the public domain?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to be definitive about that. I think we need to keep our cards a little close to our chests on this. We are, you know, very methodically pushing these things down the road. And there's multiple streams. There's business development angles. There's a technology development aspects to it. There's regulatory aspects, by the way. And then there's financial engagement aspects in terms of dealing with the financial institutions. And so when we have really material obligatory announcements, we'll make them. We, as I said, we feel quite confident and quite encouraged by the progress we're making really on both constellations across really all of those parameters. And I think we'll have to announce stuff when it's ready.
Okay, great. And just the last question on my side here. Are you able to just sort of provide some color on the current demand picture for the content across all four sensors? I mean, how should we really think about the data pipeline currently, and how many resellers and partners do you currently work with?
Sure, I'll hand this to Fabrizio.
So thank you for the question. Let's say, starting from the last part, we have now more than 30 resellers, partners worldwide. And as I mentioned before, we are increasing that number on a weekly basis. So this number is increasing, and this is basically allowing us to place bids and to expose our products in different geographies and different markets. So what we're really seeing is an increase in the number of bids, in the geographic diversity of bids, in the number of markets we are working on. And so I'll say we are currently exposing all our four sensors plus the Pangeo Alliance portfolio in markets worldwide.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from Noel Atkins from Claris Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. I just have a couple follow-up questions, if I may. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the ability to access a launch vehicle for the Earth Daily. If you're talking about full operational for the 2019 growing season, so that would suggest you have to be up in 2018. Are you on an already in a launch manifest with a launch provider, or are you finding that it's fairly easy to get access to a launch provider in the current environment?
Thanks, Noel. No, we are not on a manifest currently. We won't try to get on one until we start, you know, cutting metal on building the satellites. But I can tell you that we are in discussion today with several prospective launch providers. And there are launches in the windows that we need them for that system.
Okay, great. And then, actually, that's good for now. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Your next question is from David McFadden from Cormark Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, thank you. Just a follow-up question. So, you know, we're August. You guys announced the OptiStar about a year ago. Do you think that it's reasonable to expect that maybe you'll get one or two definitive agreements for OptiStar so it becomes a reality?
Hi, David. You mean, is it reasonable ever? Is that your
question? No, this year, before the end of 2016.
Ah. We're working on it. I don't know. These are complex sales. I can tell you we are deeply engaged with not only those two signatories to the MOUs, but with many other prospective customers around the world. I can tell you that the discussions are of a very sophisticated and comprehensive nature. But I can also tell you, and I think you know this intuitively, that these are complex negotiations. They involve technical parties, financial parties, legal parties. They involve the, quote unquote, getting to the economic decision maker. And in many countries, that's really at the cabinet level. So these are hard, complex sales, but we're moving ahead on it.
Okay. Is it a possibility where some of the parties don't want to enter into a definitive agreement unless they know other parties are also doing that? Is that at play here?
It's fair. Yeah, I mean, it is fair. Just as you would assume, there's a degree of customization for this program for every country. It's a bit of a comprehensive one-size-fits-all solution, as you know, but on the other hand, we have to customize it. And that includes how they pay, which kinds of budgets do they pay out of, is it capital or operational budgets, the timing of their payment cycles, the nature of the kind of technical delivery in to some extent, and so forth. And so, yes, different countries worry about different things contractually, and we have to, we have to take that the way it is.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Stephen Lee from Raymond James. Please go ahead. Your line is opened.
Hey guys, the decision to deprioritize the ISS trenches, is that a permanent decision? And under what scenario does it become a priority again?
Very simply, it is not a permanent decision. It was really taken in the context of the strategic review and the near-term priorities we faced. And I don't like the word deprioritize in your question. What I would say is we prioritized Deimos 2 because of the higher contribution margin, as I mentioned. But no, the sense is there. We continue to see demand for it. We're constantly working to improve the system throughput, operational cadence, and so forth. And it's really part of the unique combination, the sensor suite that we have in our product offering.
Okay, thanks. And then last quarter, I think you indicated a $200 million bid pipeline. Can you maybe update us? Is that bid pipeline, is it up, down, or flat? Thanks, Wade.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think we were pretty careful last time to say that we were just going to do that once, just for the one time. So we're really not in a position to come back and give it more, another number. The only thing I'll say is that the pipeline is bigger. It's growing.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Chris Ocean.
Terrific. Thanks very much. Since there are no further questions, I'd just like to thank everybody who joined the call today. On behalf of the executive team here at EarthCast and on behalf of the employees of EarthCast, I look forward to speaking to you again on our next quarterly conference call.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.